Switching topics now and turning to retaliation, I'm pleased to introduce Sarah Glazer, who is the head of the Labor and Employment Practice Group at Lloyd Gosselink here in Austin. She is a graduate of University of Texas Law School, very active in SHRM, locally and broader, and also former president of the Austin Women's Lawyer Association. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Good afternoon. One of the cool things about going later in the day is that lots of folks at the beginning of the day have had an opportunity to prime the audience for the cases that you are going to talk about. So I don't have to share a whole lot of details about Hamilton versus Dallas County or Muldrow versus City of St. Louis, because y'all have heard a lot about them from BB and Luke and even in that last presentation. So I get to move a little bit quicker through those aspects of it. But those cases are cases that, as you heard BB and Luke saying, they're cases that have impacted how we evaluate as attorneys what it means to undergo or to be the victim of an adverse employment action. And it changed the way that we evaluate discrimination cases. And you're all sitting there thinking, well, Sarah, don't talk about discrimination because you're supposed to talk about retaliation. So did you forget? But what I'm going to talk about is how the standard in discrimination cases may have changed, but I don't think that has impacted the way that retaliation claims are brought and the way that those are litigated. So in other words, retaliation is still the one. And I got to tell you, as soon as I started working on this presentation, that Shania Twain song got stuck in my head, and it has been there on repeat for about 2 months, so y'all are going to get it too. So when we get to the last slide, I'm sorry about the Shania Twain album artwork, but I could not help myself except to put it in. So let's start with this. Retaliation is, and this is surprising to no one in this room, the most prevalent claim that is filed with the EEOC. And here's kind of some history of charge statistics. And when I say 22% or 56%, I mean of all of the charges that were filed with the EEOC, 22% of them alleged either retaliation by itself or retaliation in addition to another allegation. So you can see that it increased significantly to kind of what appears to be a high in 2021, but in fact, I checked the EEOC's website today, and we have a new high of 56.8 in 2023. So we've got this, what appears to be like the straight line up with respect to retaliation. And what is interesting about that is if you go and look at the number of charges that were just generally filed with the EEOC over these time periods, they don't go just straight up. It goes up and then it dips down right around 2013 and then comes back up in 2017, 2018-ish. So we're going like this with respect to charges, but like this with respect to retaliation. So to some extent, if you are a bit of a dork, you are kind of interested in, well, what is it about retaliation that makes it a claim that's going like this? And so I have lots of thoughts on that. 30 minutes worth exactly. But let's talk about some of those, and then I will get into the real meat. First, being I think that retaliation is an allegation which is easy to add, and when you think about it, it's because to some extent. Let me say this: studies have suggested that when you add a retaliation claim to otherwise a discrimination claim, it increases the odds or increases the chance of success in recovery in that lawsuit, while not very significantly increasing the cost. And one of the reasons for that, I think probably makes sense to everyone in this room, is that a lot of times the claims or the allegations that are being made are based in relatively similar facts. you have an employee who has a complaint about the way that they were treated in their workplace.